Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Jefferson County Commissioners Court meeting for Monday, March 12, 2018. We'll begin our meeting today with an invocation led by Commissioner Weaver, followed by the pledge of allegiance led by Commissioner Sinema.
Lord God, King of Heaven, direct our minds and bodies throughout this day so that we may say and do the things that are pleasing to you. Forgive us when we fail you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Please join with me.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, looking at the agenda, this may be our shortest agenda in history. Should be a very quick meeting, but I want to begin our meeting today and turn it over to Commissioner Alford because he has some very special information related to a local celebrity.
Hey, that's a local celebrity. Well, what we'll do is a proclamation and we will get the official to you. I know that you, Ms. Dorothy May Graves, is pounding. True and tied, even Panther. Calvin Gidry told me to make sure I mention that before I start anything. So with that, we'll say this proclamation. It says, whereas Ms. Dorothy May Graves Williams was born on March the 15th, 1918, and whereas Ms. Dorothy May Graves Williams has been a citizen of Jefferson County throughout her life, and whereas Ms. Dorothy May Graves Williams has a strong passion and love for Jesus. She is a devoted member of St. John's Missionary Baptist Church where the Reverend O.J. Beasley is the pastor. And whereas Ms. Williams, a mother biologically right of 5 children, but she has nurtured and fostered many. And whereas Ms. Williams loved to crochet, sew, read, collect dolls, and guess what? Turn in to CNN from time to time. She also find time to feed the needy and take long walks. And whereas Ms. Dorothy May Graves Williams will celebrate her 100th birthday on Thursday, March the 15th, 2018. Now therefore be it resolved that the Commissioners Court of Jefferson County hereby proclaim Thursday, March the 15th, 2018 as Ms. Dorothy May Graves Day in Jefferson County. It will be signed by this court, and it's an honor to have you here. Thank you, Lord, and thank you, Lord. Amen.
Listeners, you may want to introduce her family.
Thank you all very much for this wonderful celebration. I thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that he blessed me with 100 years. And it wasn't because I was so good. It was because of his grace and his mercy.
Amen.
I thank y'all very much.
Thank you. Sitting beside her daughter, Miss Lorraine, and I want my classmate, her granddaughter, to come to the mic and introduce everyone else, if you don't mind. Taria.
Well, thank you so much, Commissioner Court, for this honor. Thank you to my classmate, Bo Alford. Celebrating with my grandmother today is my mother, Lorraine Malbro. She is the oldest of the 5 children of my grandmother. And then a close family friend, Anne Monette. My cousin and dear's granddaughter as well, Kimberly Edison. And then my grandmother was one of 8, and so one of her sisters, some of her children are here celebrating with us today. We have Elaine Pumphrey and her husband, George. And then my grandmother's daughter, also Joyce Hawkins, is with us. And then on this back row, we have Kendrick Odom, who is the son of Cheryl Odom, and Wayne Odom in the burgundy shirt. Cheryl and her sister, Karen Laverne, and Wanda Elaine are sisters of one of my grandmother's deceased sisters. So they're her nieces. And then on the end there, we have Corey Todd McCarter, who is the son of Wanda. Okay? Oh, and I'm sorry, also with me here today is my husband. Where is he? Michael Burr, taking pictures.
Thank you, Corey. Thank you, Judge, for allowing me. Thank you for being here, please.
Well, congratulations to you, and I hope that Thursday and every day after that is wonderful. Amen. All right, moving to items under purchasing, item A will be tabled by the bids. Consider and approve execute receipt and file professional services agreement with Vincent Shipman for structural engineering services for the adult probation elevator bid in the amount of $12,750 through capital project. Do you have a motion on that item?
So moved. Second.
Moved by Commissioner Alford, seconded by Commissioner Weaver, I believe. Do I have any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have unanimously. And the county auditor. Item A is to receive file Jefferson County Community Supervision and Corrections Department audited financial statements for the year ended August 31st, 2017. Item B is to receive file financial statements for the Texas Juvenile Justice Department grant fund for the year ended August 31st, 2017, and item C is regular county bills, check numbers 443946 through 444198. Do I have a motion on those items under auditor?
Moved.
Moved by Commissioner Arnold, seconded by Commissioner Senegal. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have unanimously, and one item under the district clerk will be tabled pending some revisions in the language for next week. Is there anything any other member of the court wishes to bring to the attention of the public without taking action?
Yes, Judge, I want to say congratulations to the Sims the Tigers, representing Southeast Texas in San Antonio this weekend. And then my former employee, Port Arthur Independent School District, Memorial Titans, won the championship also. One thing, as a coach for 20 years, one thing I insisted on kids being a gracious loser and a gracious winner, and they showed a lot of class, those kids. You got a lot to be proud of. Port Arthur needed it like the Astros did it for Houston.
That's right.
Thank you.
And I just mentioned that Commissioner Alford is the lead court liaison over the employee health and indigent health in Jefferson County. And this issue of the Texas County Progress magazine, which came out for March, there is an article in there about the Jefferson County Employee Clinic, which has given ready access to our employees to health care, primary health care through a nurse practitioner, increasing the health and wellness of our employees, decreasing the amount of out-of-pocket costs to our employees for health care visits, decreasing overtime and other time needed to take off to go to outside doctors. And it's a great article, and congratulate Commissioner Alford for the fine work that the Employee Health Department does. Anything further? Not, then we are adjourned. Thank you for being here. Yeah, no, pardon me. We're going to, y'all may leave, but okay. We are not going to adjourn. We are going to remain in session for a workshop to be held immediately following Commissioner's Court to receive the annual report information from Ms. Heather Champion, Director of Business Development at the Pendle Thomas Center. And since we had a photographic opportunity. All right, we're pleased to have with us today representatives of the Pendle Thomas Center to give their annual report. And welcome you here, and look forward to hearing what you have to say.
Thank you very much for having us here. My name is Heather Champion. I'm the Director of Business Development and Quality.
Mental Talk Center. And I have with me today our interim chief executive officer, Holly Burrell. She's being loaned to us currently until we can find a permanent CEO. She's on loan from Tropical Behavioral Health Center. So we wanted to give you guys a report and update on where we were last year, and we'd like to make this an annual event going forward, maybe happen a little sooner in the fiscal year than this. Spindle Top Center, as you may know, is a governmental entity that was first formed by an interlocal agreement between Jefferson, Orange, and Chambers counties, and then in 1992, Hardin County was added into that. Our governing board of trustees is who basically runs our center, and they are appointed by the commissioner's courts of each of the four counties. There's a picture in here of our current governing board of trustees, and as you will see, Gladys Fowler is our chairwoman of our board of trustees currently. Of note, she is also the chairwoman of the board of the Texas Council of Community Centers, which is over the entire state, all community centers across the state. So we're very honored and proud to have her serve as our chairwoman. And she happens to be my mentor, just sat down. Then, of course, we have our executive leadership team that helps with guiding the operations of day-to-day, our chief executive officer, CFO, human resources, chief clinical officer. IDD stands for Intellectual and Developmental Disabilities. So our chief intellectual and developmental disabilities officer is Lisa Gibbs. And then our chief information officer, Brian Gervais. Of note, most of these chief officers are relatively new to this position, so we have seen a substantial amount of change in our upper management over the past 2 years. But we also feel that that gives us an opportunity to bring a fresh approach to the services that we provide to the community. Our values dictate the services that we provide, and we hold very true to the values that help us to ensure that we provide wellness opportunities to everybody in our community. Next, we have a picture of the different locations. Because we have clinics embedded in our counties, we're able to service the people in the community as close to where they live as possible. So in the upper left-hand corner, that's our Beaumont North campus, located very close to the Baptist Hospital. In the center is our Port Arthur campus. On the top right is Orange. Bottom right is Silsby. And then bottom left is our Beaumont South campus, which is just down the road at Washington and 8th Street. Demographics won't be new to any of you gentlemen, of course. We serve, as I mentioned, Jefferson, Orange, Hardin, and Chambers counties. So that's approximately 436,000 lives that we cover in what we call our catchment or region. And of course, as you can see, Jefferson County certainly wins the trophy for most covered lives out of all four of those counties. Currently, we have 519 filled positions. And our employees, it may look as though most of our employees work out of Beaumont, but that's a little bit misleading. So technically, our main headquarters, if you will, is located here in Beaumont. Therefore, a lot of the employees that work in our services are headquartered in Beaumont, but they actually work out in the community. They drive to the person's home, they drive to the school, they're actually out in the community constantly. They don't stay in the office. For fiscal year 17, our revenues were $47,530,510. And as you can see, a large percentage of that comes from Medicaid billable insurance. And then, of course, we get a large portion of funding from the state to be able to provide for those individuals who don't have a funding source of their own. For fiscal year 17, our expenses totaled $44,018,672. And again, this goes to show you that a predominant portion of our funding goes toward the people who provide the services, because our human capital is our best resource that we have to offer to the community. And we also provide several other interesting services in there for clients, including housing and residential services. Most of our clients who have a pay source, these are the four predominant pay sources that we see from them: Medicare, Medicaid, private insurance, and then of course the general revenue would be the state funding. And again, to reiterate, almost 60% of those funds come from Medicaid that we build. Individuals that we serve, adult mental health, of course, we are tasked by the state to ensure that we provide services to folks with diagnoses under schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, and major depression. Fortunately, because of additional funding through 1115 Medicaid waiver and other sources, we are allowed to go outside of that and serve what we call the priority population. So these would be folks that don't fall into those big three, like anxiety disorders, post-traumatic stress disorder, things of that nature that don't fall into the main three that I just described. Our children and adolescent mental health services are for children ages 3 through 17, and we also have transitional services for those children that are aging out of the behavioral health services for youth into adult services. So they don't just fall between the cracks. We make sure that they transition appropriately into adult services if that's what's called for. And our substance use disorder services are actually for youth and adults. So we have a lot of not just services targeted towards helping someone rehabilitate or recover, but we also have prevention efforts, especially geared toward youth 13 and up, where we try to prevent them from getting into tobacco products and other substances. In our intellectual and developmental disability services, we serve individuals who meet the criteria for mental retardation as defined by the state. We also serve individuals with pervasive developmental disorders, that would be like your autism spectrum disorders, and related conditions that are covered under our various state waiver programs. We're very proud of our early childhood intervention program, which is for children born with developmental delays from birth to 36 months. So these are kids whose parents know because of testing, genetic testing, that they may be born with Down syndrome, for instance. And we can get them enrolled in that service the day the child is born. And the therapists go into the home and teach the parents how to do a lot of these therapies with their child so that they can do it even when the therapist is not there. And they can help their child meet those developmental milestones as quickly as possible. Our service array is pretty robust. I was going to do a slide that covered everything, but it wouldn't all fit on one slide. And it, as you can see, it wouldn't all fit on two slides either. So we could have had a whole slideshow of nothing but different spinal tap services, but that would be kind of boring. I will highlight a few, though, for you that I think are super special, especially for Jefferson County. We have a consumer benefits office, which you may or may not realize. For those individuals who do not have a fund source or do not receive any type of disability, we offer a service where they meet with our officers and we fill out the paperwork with them to help them try to apply for disability and Medicaid and other service, other eligibility that they may be able to receive. So a lot of times you hear folks say, well, I can't afford an attorney to help me with my disability. They don't have to be able to afford an attorney. We actually provide that service. We go through the appeals process with them at the Social Security Department. And then our primary care clinic, which is located right here in Beaumont, is open to the public. So any individual, they do not have to be a consumer of any of our other services. Anyone off the street who wants to come into our primary care clinic is more than welcome. And we have a sliding scale fee there, so it's very reasonably priced. On the next page, I wanted to point out our guest waiver services. It's very unique. This is one of the things that I think the state got right. So a couple of years ago, they offered to create this program where they would pay for us to seek out non-traditional therapeutic services for children who are having behavioral issues at home or at school. So we actually partner with Spirit Stables, with Tiger Rock, and with several other organizations. I want to say Two Magnolias down the street. So they can get cooking classes, they can get dance lessons, they can learn how to ride a horse, and these are non-traditional therapies, but they really do help these children with socialization and some of those key skills that they need to help them behave better when they're out in the schools or when they're at home with their families. Our total unduplicated person served, the trend from 2013 until 2017, as you can see, has increased by 70%. That's a pretty dramatic increase if you ask me. And I like to think that it has a lot of different factors that are involved, but a lot of what we have seen is that the district funds have allowed us to serve more people that traditionally just simply would not be able to qualify or be eligible for our programs. And that's one thing we'll talk about a little bit more later in the presentation. Also, I have a breakdown of unduplicated first and served by county for last year for you guys, so you can see that 68% of the individuals we serve come out of your county. And then the breakdown, as you can see, goes down from there. Orange County would be the second highest individuals that we serve. And then I have a breakdown for you of actual clients served in Jefferson County by different types of program. No surprise there, this is true of every county. A predominant amount of the folks that we serve out of your county are in our adult mental health services. You may think that the substance use disorder number looks a little low, and you probably can figure this out on your own, but I'll go ahead and say it out loud. We feel like there are a lot of folks that we may not capture in substance use disorder services, but we are capturing them in the adult mental health. So either way, they're getting the service, but we'd like to do a better job going forward of tracking those individuals and ensuring that we reflect them correctly in our graphs. Lastly, with regard to services, I have a pretty busy slide there with the crisis services array. The reason why it's busy is because we do a lot, and we're very busy in our crisis services. The entire point of our crisis services is to keep folks out of the hospital or out of jail that just simply don't need to be there. It shouldn't be illegal for you to be sick and need treatment, and therefore you need to be in a better place. The bed days, these are alternatives to inpatient. So, for example, WG stands for Woodbridge. Our residential program is outpatient. It's over in our South Campus, Washington and 8th Street location. It's a voluntary program where people get round-the-clock supervision. They have medication management. They have access to psychiatrists. They have access to social workers and caseworkers and therapists and nurses. So they get that support that they need, wraparound, but they're not taking up a hospital bed and taking up that additional expense. Of course, we have respite as well, which is a time limited. It's only a 24-hour round-the-clock situation. Extended observation is unique in that we partner with the hospital, and typically what we find is that within the first 48 hours of the person's inpatient stay, they can start to see a decrease of the symptoms that brought them there in the first place. And so if you can just monitor them that first 48 hours, perhaps adjust medications as needed, then within that amount of time, they're usually okay to leave at that point. So we do partner with Baptist Hospital and Medical Center to have them provide that 48-hour extended observation service. And lastly, we have our crisis stabilization unit, which opened up in about a little over a year ago. And we've seen a remarkable trend there where we're able to put people in a very similar to inpatient-like setting, and they can see both voluntary and involuntary folks, but they're able to stabilize them, get them the help they need, and then get them connected with the outpatient services that we can offer. And again, this keeps people out of jail, it keeps them out of the hospital beds that can be so costly to the county. Looking ahead at 2018, which sounds funny because we're halfway through our fiscal year of 2018 already, one of the initiatives we never wanted to have to address was a hurricane, but as we all know, that happened. These numbers here on impacted consumers and employees are a very rough estimate, and I say that because, for instance, with employees impacted, we didn't include employees who may have lost a vehicle or something, or just a minor home damage. We only included in that number our employees who lost their entire.
One of the questions I had, it might be better addressed to your clinical staff, but was whether or not, and I assume that these impacted or those whose homes or dwellings were impacted.
Yes.
And I was just curious as to whether or not you've seen an increase in anxiety related disorders in the aftermath of Harvey.
We have, and we've seen an increase in the number of incoming referrals. So the number of people reaching out for help has increased. The number of people calling our crisis helpline increased within a few weeks of the disaster, and the number of people calling with interest in our housing properties has increased, as you can imagine, as well. And again, that number of consumers impacted is very low because we lost hundreds of consumers that were displaced and have not returned to our area. So the 275 is just of the ones that we've been able to locate and that have decided to either return after they had evacuated and returned back to the area, or they never left.
That's a question right there. So when they go to another facility somewhere else, you don't have any, they don't have any ties to find out anything from you since they were originally from this area?
Not necessarily, no. I mean, when they go to another community center like Spindletop Center, they have to start all over again from scratch. Each community center is independent of the other ones. So they would have to go through and take an enrollment there as a new patient, just like they would at any other private provider as well. Now, I can tell you that when folks go to a private provider or they go to another community mental health center, they typically reach out and ask us for copies of records. They get a consent from the patient so that they can see copies of those records. Because, you know, a psychiatrist is always going to want to see what the last doctor's been doing and what works for that individual. And I can say that we do the same thing when they move here. And we're trying to continue that service as best we can. We want the care to continue in whatever best format works for that individual.
I got one other question. Sure. I'll go back. It goes back to the jail. It goes back to the 1115 waiver. Have your organization begin to discuss any way that we can alleviate some of the pressures that's on our jail? And that includes coming from our surrounding counties that dump on us, that I know for a fact has happened. Have you guys started to look at, put the plan together to alleviate our help us with that particular problem?
Yes, we've actually been working on that one for some time, and we will continue to work on that one. Every other month, we have an advisory, ER advisory meeting, and all of our local law enforcement agencies and ambulance companies are invited, and Fred Jackson also comes to those meetings as well. We host them as Mental Health Center. And we look at what are the pressing issues, what are the pressure points right now that we're seeing, and how can we alleviate those things? It started out, like I mentioned, as an ER advisory, but really a lot more of it has to do with helping the local law enforcement, because they've turned into the first responders for mental health, which is never something that anyone wants. We want them out there protecting and serving, not trying to be a social worker, unfortunately, for folks who have a diagnosis. But it's definitely something that we're working on, Commissioner, and we're going to continue working on it. There's no one-size-fits-all, unfortunately. And I know we'll touch on this. There are a few slides later where we'll talk about some initiatives specific to your county. But one of those things is that we had applied for a Senate Bill 292 grant award to help us address some law enforcement, and particularly having a mental health court. That we have already started doing a mental health court in Judge Holmes' court, and we would like to expand upon that. And so we know we were granted the award, we were picked by the state, but we haven't received the contract or any of the fund details or the funding, of course, yet. But one of the things coming out of that will be to hopefully have an additional mental health deputy assigned to work with this particular population. And we've also reached out, and Chief Singletary in Beaumont PD wants to work with us on that as well.
Right, and that's this past weekend while I was out of town, I got a call from a Port Arthur police officer. Chief, I was going to talk to you about this. Now, you said that you invite local law enforcement.
Yes, sir.
Has the police chief in Port Arthur been to any of these meetings?
I don't know, per se, because I don't leave the meeting, but I know they are invited. In fact, we invite all law enforcement from all four counties.
And I appreciate that, Chief, but there's some serious things going on that's going to involve you in the jail if we don't get on top of them or understanding what the process is. You know, you have police officers calling me, quoting me the health and safety code, and I said, man, I don't know the health and safety code. And they are saying that they need a mental health officer on their force, so I think we need to turn it up because it's falling back on our lap. And I got those calls this weekend, and I want to talk to you about it. But it's something that we need to have a meeting so they understand the breakdown of how to, you know, it's not on us to just take, you know. You know, trying to determine if he's strung out on drugs or if he's a criminal. I don't want you to get caught in a catch 22.
Unfortunately, a lot of our mental health issues that we have in jail and even on the streets encompass substance abuse.
Absolutely.
And so those two lines get blurred, and that makes it very, very difficult for our jail administration to make decisions based on classification and other issues. And we end up having a lot of our maximum security space taken for the protection of that person and for other reasons. And so it does put a burden on our jail staff. But I do appreciate the fact that y'all have and continue to work with our jail and with our law enforcement division to have those mental health deputies on there, because I can remember a time when we did not have that. John and I worked together. And so we know, we remember that day when there was not those individuals out there working and trained to do that. So appreciate that.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it's not just a burden, it's a liability. I mean,
absolutely.
Serious liability on our staff at the jail. So,
right.
I mean, those calls this weekend was pretty serious about that liability. Just what you said, was it a crime or was it a... Was it enhanced by some drug person was on? It got real serious real fast.
Well, and as you pointed out, it's not just on the jail staff. It's hard for the officer in the moment to make a determination like that. They didn't go to college to be a social worker. They didn't go to college for psychology. They're there to protect and serve. So it's very difficult to ask them to make those judgment calls in that moment. But I can tell you, Commissioner, that Sheriff Stevens was present at the last meeting that I attended just a couple of weeks ago, and she was very vocal about let's figure out what we can do to work together to solve these problems that we're all seeing.
And get everybody at the table is what I'm saying.
Absolutely. We're trying to make sure everybody's at the table.
Yeah, okay.
And in fact, so you know, we do offer a conference call that they can call in if they can't drive in to be present at those meetings, because we know it's a distance and it can be burdensome, and they need to be in the office for other pressing matters.
All right.
So thank we'll you. Make sure we
yes, ma'am.
Keep
working. I'm not on them. Yeah. I'm putting it on record on someone else.
Gotcha. So I think we kind of covered the Harvey thing. I did want to point out Spindle Talk Center has received some funding to help us with our damages out-of-pocket expenses on Harvey. And we're continuing to seek additional funding. Just last week we had a meeting with a group called Rebuild Texas that they expressed specifically that they feel that Harris County and Houston has received most all of the funding attention, and they're very concerned and focusing all their attention on the Golden Triangle and Victoria and the areas outside of Harris County that they feel have been ignored. So I was very pleased to hear that, and I'll keep you guys posted if you wish to know about it.
That Rebuild Texas, that's through a lot of the churches or that's different from the state Rebuild Texas.
Yes, it is.
A lot of people
yes.
are getting confused about that because you have Rebuild Texas through the governor's office, then you have Rebuild Texas through this outside entity, and so it's very important we educate people on the differences because there's
people. Commissioner, I agree with you on that, and you know what else? We need to make sure, for example, I had a request because there were 170 college student from Washington, D.C. coming down to help at Beaumont Port Arthur. There's a large number of volunteers in our area, and it's not anything tied to the Rebuild Texas from the governor's office and thing. It is the churches that are coming together with universities and things of that nature. We need to make sure we draw a parallel between those two.
Well, and to go a little bit further into that, what happened, and even right after the storm, a lot of these nonprofits were confused and thinking they can go apply for funds through the, they heard Rebuild Texas and they think it's the governor. Well, the governor's office can't do that. So they were trying to figure out, and it's just important to try to educate. There's two different paths.
Yeah, the private one is funded by the Dell Foundation.
Right.
Yes, exactly. Thank you all for clarifying. Absolutely right.
This $1,044,354 in out-of-pocket expenses were for what?
We had damages to our facilities. Our Orange Mental Health Clinic was devastated, as was our Port Arthur Mental Health Clinic was devastated. We were very fortunate that our IDD offices in Port Arthur were raised up enough that very minor damage, we were able to quickly fix that, remediate the damage, and essentially open up a mini mental health clinic in the IDD clinic. And that's still what we're doing now. It's not optimal. We're not completely back 100%. And we have a fleet of vehicles that we use. As I mentioned, most of our caseworkers work in the field. They drive out to the homes, and they work with people in their homes, wherever they happen to be in the community. And they go to the schools to work with the students right there in the classroom. So we had damage to about 11 or so of our vehicles. And we were actually awarded a competitive grant by AmeriCares to reimburse us for the out-of-pocket expenses associated with our damaged vehicles. So that was one nice.
Y'all eligible for FEMA public assistance?
I think we were only eligible for FEMA with regard to disaster services that we could provide in the community, which is something that we've done in the past with our mental health services. We've hired additional staff, but the reporting was such that we decided not to do that this year. We'll just provide the services regardless without the FEMA money.
Might want to check into FEMA public assistance, see whether or not you're eligible for the dollar. I will tell you that once you, it looks like you had about 43% of your damage is covered by insurance. And when you do get FEMA public assistance, they'll require that you have, that you obtain and maintain adequate coverage for future events.
And we did have coverage, and we'll continue to maintain that coverage. One thing I would point out, we haven't exhausted all of our appeals with insurance on our facilities damages yet. So we've had some trouble with windstorm wanting to say it was flood, and flood saying it should have been windstorm, and you know how insurance goes. So they're still giving us a run around a little bit, but our CFO's on top of it. I wanted to point out to you guys that our early childhood intervention program that I mentioned that serves babies born with developmental delays up through 36 months. We were very excited when HHSC reached out to us and said they would like us to take over a program that was getting ready to expire over in Galveston County. So as of September of 2017, we're also serving parts of Galveston, Brazoria, Chambers, and Harris County on top of Jefferson, Hardin, and Orange counties. And we're projected to serve 630 babies this year.
I had no idea. You know, my communication with Mitchell Warren, it's been a talk, obviously, with the sheriff's office, was all through mental health. I had no idea that y'all did this. My daughter is a senior at Warren, speech therapy, and is talking with somebody there about doing some volunteer work in that program. And I had no idea that y'all did that. So it's good.
Thank you. And if she wants a job, we'll probably have one available. Because that's a lot of babies to start to serve all of a sudden.
She needs volunteer hours to get that master's degree, right, get in that program.
And that's one good partnership we have in the community is the Warren University. We get a lot of great employees and great interns and volunteers from the university. Our Joint Commission accreditation is up for renewal any day now, literally. I'm checking their website daily. Essentially, the Joint Commission accreditation is not necessarily something that we have to have as a community center. It is a requirement for hospitals to have accreditation so that they can bill for the services they provide. We don't have that same requirement, but we are proud to say that we have earned and maintained our Joint Commission accreditation since June 29, 1980. We were one of the first community centers in the state to seek out and attain Joint Commission accreditation. And so, literally any day now, wish me luck, we'll have our surveyors show up to do our every 3 years they do a survey and audit our services to make sure that we're maintaining national patient safety standards, medical record standards, standards of care and treatment. Changes to DSRIP. So I'm sure you've all heard the funding is going away. I know, it's sad. I'm really sad. I'll shed a tear. December 21st, 2017, literally at the 11th hour, we found out that CMS had approved the state's transition plan for the next 5 years. The plan intends entails a reduction of funding over that five-year period. DUI stands for demonstration year, by the way. So we're currently in demonstration year 7, and we're funded fully this year. Next year, there will be the same, the funding will remain the same. In the beginning, that in 2020, that's when we'll start to see the funding phase down, I think, by 3.5%, something like that. And then the next year, it'll go down a little bit more until the last year of the transition, 2022, no funding will come in whatsoever from district. And we will be expected to have found other funding sources or be fully sustainable on our own. And to give you a better idea, earlier in the slides, you saw that last year, just last year alone, we received roughly 7.7 million in district funds. So that's a substantial amount of money to lose and still be able to maintain the services that we're providing to the community that have grown over the past 5 years. So we are actively searching for alternatives, and we know that the state is working on this as well, because they do want to see these services be maintained in the coming years by all community centers. Lastly, of course, I have the Jefferson County Initiative. So as we talked about, the Senate Bill 292 grant was awarded. We're just waiting on the paperwork to sign. And that will allow us to have a funding source for our court liaison program, an additional deputy with the Sheriff's Department, and to hire additional staff on our end to support the Sheriff's Department and the Beaumont Police Department with these mental health patients. We're also reaching out to all four of our counties to help address the Sandburg Land Act legislation. We know that you're going to have some certain processes in place and assessments and screenings in the jails. And so there's already telemedicine equipment there. We just need to work out the details with you guys. And I'm sure Amber will be reaching out with you. And of course, we are collaborating on creating a new veterans mental health court. Our military veteran care network, administrator Tim Winberg, is taking lead on that. And please don't ask me which court, because I don't know. And then lastly, we're working on acquiring another
58 district court.
58, thank you. We're also working on the acquisition of a HUD property, the Villa de Lucas property in Beaumont, which is a HUD 811 property that is very similar to another that we already manage. And they reached out to us a couple of years ago and said, hey, we don't want to do this anymore, but you can't just stop managing a HUD property. You have to maintain them for 40 years unless you can give it over to somebody else to manage that already meets all the requirements by HUD. So we're in the process of working that out and adding that to the other properties that we manage. And of course, we're still seeking out additional funding opportunities to help support in the aftermath of the disaster with trauma-related issues for folks. So you have my contact information there, and you have Healthy for Real's contact information there. Any other questions that I can answer?
Thank you so much for being here today, Burrell. Welcome to Jefferson County. So I understand that you've been here before.
I have.
But you came from Corpus?
Edinburgh. So I've been there for the last, actually was here, worked at Spindletop for 17 years, and then I've been over there the last 13 years. So we'll see. I'm hoping to come back as a permanent CEO, but we'll see what the board has to say about that.
Best of luck. Thank you so much for being here today, Commissioners. Any other questions?
Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Nothing further than this workshop is adjourned.